Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you wealthy people. I'm so excited to chat with you guys today. I wanted to talk a little bit about the do's and don'ts of bringing on an associate. So if you're in the chiropractic space, we refer to them as associates. If you're in dentistry, acupuncture, naturopath, something like that, you probably refer to them as an associate doctor as well or associate practitioner. And I wanted to share my experience with bringing on associates, things that have worked really well, things that maybe haven't worked well that we've kind of learned from and adapted as we bring on more people. So between my husband and I, we have four doctors that work for us. And my model's a little bit different than his. I'm still in the office seeing patients, and collectively we see all the patients together between all three of us doctors. In his offices, he doesn't see patients. He just acts as CEO and runs the clinic, is in charge of marketing, kind of the day-to-day operations. And the doctor in each respective clinic is in charge of patient care, more treated as a clinic director. And that's how we have done things differently. And there's pros and cons to each. So if you are considering bringing on an associate, then you should absolutely listen to this podcast. But also, I put together an associate training. If you just DM me at the Wealthy Practitioner on Instagram, associate, you'll get a 30-minute video that I put together breaking down everything. So what to pay them, what to consider, pros and cons of hiring an associate that's already experienced and has worked maybe for a couple of years elsewhere, or hiring an associate that's fresh out of school. I have put in there what to pay them, benefits, everything like that. So it's a really comprehensive training. Just DM me the word associate and you can get access to that. I've hired people right out of school, and I've hired people that have already had experience. I've hired people that have required more training versus you can kind of just let them take the reins and go with it. And there's a couple things that you need to consider. And later in the episode, I'll dive into, if you're about to become an associate, things that you should consider. But essentially, when you're bringing on an associate, you want to think of, like, what's the purpose of bringing them on? So am I in a position to where I want to bring them on because I'm inundated with new patient requests? I have so much patient flow that I want to bring somebody on so that they can start to take some of that load. I'm at my max capacity and it's time to expand so that I can serve more people. Or am I... That's more of a growth-minded associate, or am I just burnt out? I want to cut back on some of the patient care that I'm doing, and I want to have somebody come in and be more of a fill-in doctor. That's kind of the two viewpoints that I look at it when bringing on an associate, because you treat them very differently. You pay them very differently. There's different things to consider on who might be a better fit for each of those roles. And I've done both. I've hired a fill-in and I've hired a growth-minded associate. And so when you bring on a growth associate, the goal is really to have them help you grow the clinic. Maybe you're doing well, but you're not at capacity, but you're like, hey, I want some help. We can double the impact, essentially, if there was two of us here. I really want a partner in helping me get the message out there, build rapport within the community. And that person is going to serve more of a role where they are doing marketing. Maybe they're out in the community doing events. They're doing more networking. They're seeing some of your overflow, but you might not have a ton of overflow to give them, but you can start to train them on the processes within the clinic, and they're going to serve either the same ideal client as you or a different ideal client. A fill-in associate is like, hey, I'm at max capacity. I no longer wish to work, 5 or 6 days a week adjusting. I want to pull back a little bit. And I have the patient flow for them. I've dialed in my marketing. We have more than enough volume to bring on another doctor and pay them and have them start to take over a lot of our overflow, but also build up their own patient base as well. And when you're bringing on a growth-minded associate, one of the things to keep in mind is that person has different personality traits than somebody who's a fill-in. A growth-minded associate is a little bit more of a hustler. They're a little bit more outgoing. They have personality traits typically similar to the clinic owner. They are self-starters. They take initiative. They might be a little hesitant to put themselves out there, but maybe it's just because they've never done it. And so they need that expertise from you and they need that mentorship from you to help them be more comfortable with putting themselves out there. And they're really good at taking direction and they're really great at taking feedback. A fill-in associate should have some of those same characteristics, but I've noticed that within the people that we have hired within our clinics, a growth-minded associate tends to be somebody that already has a little bit of experience. So a growth-minded associate maybe has worked at another clinic or they've had their own practice and now they're transitioning. They don't want to own their own clinic anymore, but they know what it takes. They've worked for somebody else for several years. Whatever it may be, they already have some kind of experience. And I love hiring docs that have experience because I think that they come in, they've seen how other clinics run. They either understand they have a great opportunity with you or they understand some of the things that it takes to build up to a busy practice. And they're just able to kind of step right in and hit the ground running. Whereas a fill-in associate, typically when I've hired a fill-in associate, it's been more of a new grad or somebody that doesn't have a ton of experience, there's just a little bit more mindset work that you have to overcome. Typically, these docs are fresh out of school, and so they don't understand what it's like to have a full patient base. They don't understand what it takes to build a clinic just because they've never done it. And there are a ton of things to overcome in that first year after graduation. It's very different working in a job than it is being in school with all of your friends who are going through the same thing. It could be a little bit more isolating. You know, if you look back to when you had just graduated, I felt super isolated. It was hard to make friends. You were focused on this career, but it didn't feel like things were moving quick enough for you. And that's typically how a new grad feels. Plus, there's a lot of mindset stuff to overcome if you're working in a clinic that has doctors who are more experienced. Typically, they're younger when they're fresh out of school. Typically, they haven't handled a lot of cases, depending on what their preceptorship or clinic hours were like in school. They haven't handled a lot of more complicated cases, and they need a little bit more handholding just in working on technique, working on patient care, patient management, patient care plans. We learn one thing in school, but it's very different once you're out in the real world and practicing. And so that's a little bit of a shock to them in the first 6 months is like, wow, this isn't how things were done in school. Of course not. This is real life. This is running a business. This is what it's going to take. And so there's just a little bit more that has to go into that associate as the clinic owner. And I think it's super important to have that level of expectation for yourself, because so often I'm working with clients that are bringing on an associate. I'm like, cool. So they've been here 2 weeks, now I'm going to bounce, right? And it's like, well, that's the quickest way to have an unhappy associate, first of all. And second of all, you're really doing them a disservice by not being the mentor that they need. And I'm sure you guys have all heard it, especially if you're a chiropractor, that quote, chiropractors eat their young. I hate this saying. I hate this saying because it's such a generalization. And also we're perpetuating that that's just the way that it should be. And I am a firm believer in one of the greatest opportunities we have within this profession is to be able to be a mentor to younger doctors. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I love that responsibility. I want to help the doctors that come into my clinic excel in all areas of their life. It's not only like, how can we help you become a better doctor? What other goals do you have that we can support you on so that you can accomplish them? What else do you want to do outside of the clinic? It's not all work and no play. I love creating an environment where they have that balance between work and play, because that's where you also create really happy and content people who are on your team. Is that if you can provide some of that balance, you can provide that mentorship, you can help them reach other goals, then it's really a win-win for both you as the clinic director and the associate. That's just kind of two things to consider when hiring a fill-in associate or more of a growth-minded associate. The other thing is there is so much opportunity for new grads to start their own clinic. And so you have to ask yourself, one, if you're wanting a new grad to join your team, what are the benefits? If they're just going to show up but not get any mentorship for you, then they would just go and start their own clinic and do it on their own, right? There would be no benefit into joining your team. And then as a growth-minded associate, they already have experience. You should be focused on what is the point of them joining your team versus somebody else, and taking into consideration what it is they bring to the table when they are joining your team. And so often when I'm working with clients, I realize that a lot of times when we're crafting an associateship offer, we're coming from this place of lack and scarcity. Like, well, I'm the one that built the whole clinic and I'm just not going to give them a ton of money right off the bat because I'm the one who did this. And that's a really disempowering place to come from. It should be exciting when you're bringing on an associate. It should be super empowering. Like, anytime I bring on a new employee, doctor or not, I am excited about the opportunity that I have to make somebody else's life better. Not only pay them, but there's so much potential within all of my companies to grow that, like, if you show up and you help the overall vision, you help make my life easier, I'm going to reimburse you for that because I appreciate that wholeheartedly. And so when I'm bringing on a new doctor to my clinic, I'm excited about the potential to not only help and mentor somebody else within my profession, but I'm excited about what they're going to be able to accomplish and bring to the team. Anytime I look at bringing on another doctor, it is viewed as an investment in my business, an investment into my team. So often when I'm working with doctors, they're like, well, that's, you know, $5,000 a month out my back pocket. And it's like, yeah, but you're investing that. It's just like if you were investing in a coach or a piece of equipment, you have to view it through a different lens if you truly want to hit your goals. And I have always said that it also works as an investment because you don't necessarily get that return on your investment immediately. So often doctors are 90 days into bringing on a new doc and they're like, well, we're not making more money. Like, I thought we were going to have our clinic collections just grow by like 15, 20, 35% by bringing this doctor on. Well, yes, that can happen. It doesn't happen right away. There takes time. Your patients have to get acclimated to them. Your other team members have to get acclimated to bringing on another doctor and what that patient flow looks like. And so often, that takes time. It's just like any great relationship, right? It doesn't happen overnight. And so I really think if you head into bringing on an associate and have a realistic time frame, that 12 months, within 12 months is when you really should start to see the growth of this employee, then you're going to be much happier with the expectations you've set. Your associate's going to be much happier because they're going to know what the expectation is for them. And that's one of the other things. I host quarterly, minimum quarterly. In the first 6 months, it's much more frequent than that, but minimum quarterly check-ins with my team so I can let them know, hey, here's what's happening behind the scenes. Here's the growth we're seeing. Here's what numbers look like. Here's how you're doing. Here's where I think you could improve. Here's where I think you're doing great, because that's super beneficial for them too. That's how they learn. If you were to never check in with them, then they wouldn't know if they're doing a good job or not. And often you have to remember too, as the leader of your team, you have to provide them with constructive criticism, but also really positive feedback. Because so often when I'm on coaching calls, I'll hear a lot of the negatives, but that what we talk about expands, right? So then we think it's all negatives when in reality, there are some positives. Like, hey, maybe your collections have stayed the same, but you as the clinic owner have gotten 4 additional days off because now you don't work Tuesdays. That's a huge positive. You're buying back your time with investing into your team. And that's one of the huge pillars that I focus on in our mastermind is there are multiple ways to view growth. And time is a very precious asset that needs to be considered. If you're a doctor that just graduated and you're like, hey, how do I find a really great associateship? Then I would look for somewhere that wants you long-term and that has room within their company for growth. I would also look at practicing with a clinic that serves your same ideal client. If you really love sports and therapies and stuff like that, you do not belong in a pediatric prenatal practice. Obviously, the technique needs to be similar. Like, are they practicing the way that you want to practice? Is the philosophy the same? And also, what is my time off? Are there any added benefits? Are there any opportunities for me to make an income based off of my production? That's what we do in most of our clinics. That's what I have my clients do, is set up a base salary with an added bonus, because for the growth-minded, abundant doctor coming in, that's really going to motivate them. And that's also going to add, obviously, revenue to your clinic. The other thing is, when you're looking for a place to work at, keep in mind, I've had this happen before in my office. I've had it happen in clients' practices. Just because a clinic is going to pay you more than another clinic does not mean it's the right choice. Typically, if you are going to go to a pain management where there's surgeons and stuff within that clinic, they can pay you 6 figures right away because you're going to be seeing mostly insurance patients. The goal is for them really to not get better with chiropractic. The goal is for them to end up needing surgery, which is unfortunate. And I'm sure that's not every pain management clinic, but that tends to be the norm. And so they're like, hey, we'll pay you six figures. Just sit here and adjust every single person we send your way. We don't really want your recommendations on it because we have our own recommendations in mind. And so they can pay you a lot, but there's also that aspect that you're probably going to be working a ton with not much of a work-life balance, and you might not be serving the people that you actually want to serve. I think when you're considering a position, you need to look at it from multiple angles. Who can I learn the most from? What is the compensation package look like? And what does the work-life balance look like? And are they going to mentor me and pour into me the way that I think would help accelerate my career and help my trajectory forward? The other thing that I like to mention is something to consider that I don't think enough doctors as the clinic owner consider is I have a whole program that I move my associates through. So they start as a junior associate. They can work themselves up all the way to a clinic director. In my husband's clinics, we do it a little bit differently to where if an associate comes on, they're doing a great job. They pretty much start off at a clinic director. So there's this level of mastery that they had to have already achieved to join his team because they are in charge of patient flow, patient care, patient management, all of that right off the bat. But within 3 years, if they're doing a great job, then there's an opportunity for partnership. And that's super amazing. There are opportunities out there like that. If you're listening to this and you want to come work with us, we'd love to have you, you know, apply, hit me up. Maybe there's room at one of our clinics, but there are other people out there like that that are really wanting to help younger docs or docs that maybe don't have the funds or the experience from the business perspective. There's clinics and owners out there wanting to bring you in, help mentor you, and then grow you and help you even become a partner within the organization. And that's actually what happened with my husband when he was an associate is they really loved him. He was doing a great job. He was kind of the one that went and started new clinics in different areas. And because they understood the value in him, they made him a partner within that organization. And he was like that for 2 years before he decided to leave completely and do his own thing, just because there was limitations within that partnership. From our perspective, what we try to do in his clinics is eventually have the doc work up to a 50-50 partnership. And that is super awesome for the doc, because at that point, we've put all the capital in to actually build the practice and get it to a super healthy place before you become partner. So I know for a fact there's other opportunities out there like that. That's something to consider. And, you know, the do's and don'ts of being an associate, I think that if you can find the right position, I think it's a beautiful aspect. I remember when I had first opened, I was like, I'm never going to have an associate. I'll just be a one-woman show. I'll never have a team. And that's okay. If you're feeling like that right now while you're listening to this and you're like, I just don't know if associates for me. That's okay if it never is. There's amazing practices out there who are a solo doc office and they run it that way. But also understand that as your journey changes, as you evolve, that might shift just as it did for me. And also know that there's a lot of horror stories within our profession specifically, but I have several success stories. I have clients that have beautiful relationships with their associates, and there's just as many, if not more, of those out there. They just don't make it online as often. And I'm committed to changing that narrative and really shedding light and sharing some of the beauty that can happen from a really great associateship. And I think that's important to add to the conversation too. So I hope you guys found this super beneficial. That's kind of my goal with the podcast is I want to bring in information that's super tactical. You could go into practice the next day and implement some of the things that I'm talking about or provide opportunity for reflection. Like, hey, are the systems and processes we have within the office the best, or could they use some improving? But then I want to bring in the mindset. I want to bring in the feminine energy. I want to bring in all aspects, because when you're building a business and you dive into this world of entrepreneurship, it's not just the business that needs work. It's our personal development. It's our self-worth, like we talked about on the last episode. It's all of these things that are encompassing. It's our money mindset. It's our personal relationships. It's all of it. It's all encompassing. And so my goal with the podcast is to just kind of ebb and flow between different topics. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, cool, this really worked for me, I'm not really into the mindset, then skip the mindset episodes. But I think that if you listen to all of them, you're going to walk away with a more holistic approach to building a business and a life that you love. And that's ultimately my goal. All right, guys, I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.